Blog Talk Radio.
Did not have a warrant and offered no explanation of the action.
He added about an hour before the raid, the National Report had released a story about the mounting evidence which confirms Obama's birth records are in fact forged. Montgomery said most employees were so shaken up by the raid, he let them go home early. More on this breaking story as it becomes available. You can get to that. You can get that story at go to National Report, I believe .com. So look on that one. Amazing, huh? What do you think, Leda? No surprise. Okay. Now, I love this one. I don't know if I. I don't think I. No, I don't know if I read this. Did I read one where military emails show that no U.S. sailors witnessed Obama bin Laden's Osama bin Laden's secret burial at sea?
I don't know whether you read that or not. I know we talked about that.
We talked about it, but I don't know. Let's go to that. This is just another more proof that Obama is a fraud. You know, and everybody knew this guy was like dead 10 years ago. This is by another British Mail Online, but it says this article states that revealed military emails show that no U.S. sailors witnessed Osama bin Laden's secret burial at sea. Emails described how Osama bin Laden's body was washed, wrapped in a white sheet, and slid into the sea after religious remarks in Arabic. Defense Department says it cannot find any images or videos of bin Laden's aboard USS Carl Vinson, and Pentagon failed to produce autopsy report, death certificate, or results of a DNA test. Military officials referred to bin Laden's body as packaged in coded missives.
Release of emails marks first public disclosure of information about bin Laden's May 1st, 2011 death.
Internal emails among U.S. military officers indicate that no American sailors watched Osama bin Laden's burial at sea on the Carl Vinson, and procedures were followed during the Carl Vinson, and traditional procedures were followed during the secret ceremony.
The emails obtained by the Associated Press through the Freedom of Information Act are heavily blacked out, but are the first public disclosure of government information about the al-Qaeda leader's death. The emails were released Wednesday by the Defense Department. Bin Laden was killed on May 1st, 2011 by a Navy SEAL team that assaulted his compound in Abbasabad, Pakistan. One email stamped secret and sent on May 2nd by a senior Navy officer briefly describes how bin Laden's body was washed, wrapped in a white sheet and then placed in a weighted bag. According to another message from the Business Public Affairs Office, only a small group of the ship's leadership was informed of the burial.
Traditional procedures of Islamic burial was followed, May 2nd email from Rear Admiral Charles Gouet, reads, the deceased body was washed, blah, 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 blah. But it says a military officer read prepared religious remarks, which were translated into Arabic by a native speaker, which the words were complete. The body was placed in a prepared platform and tipped upon. The deceased body slid into the sea. And yet nobody saw.
Nobody knows.
Nobody, there was no DNA report, no death report.
The email also included cryptic reference to the intense secrecy surrounding the mission. The paucity of documentary evidence in our possession is a reflection of the emphasis placed on operational security during the execution of this phase of the operation, Gouet's message read. Recipients of the email included Admiral Mike Mullen, then the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, General James Mattis, the top officer of the U.S. Central Command. Mullen retired from the military in September 2011. Earlier, Gouet, then the deputy commander of the Navy's Fifth Fleet, and another officer used code words to discuss whether the helicopters carrying the SEALs and bin Laden's body had arrived on the Vinson. Any news on the package for us? He asked Rear Admiral Daniel Perez, commander of the carrier strike group that included the Vizen.
And FedEx delivered the package. Perez responded, both trucks are safely en route.
To the home base?
Yeah, and all this other. But the Pentagon also said it could not find any death certificate, autopsy report, or results of DNA identification tests for bin Laden, or any pre-raid materials discussing how the government planned to dispose of bin Laden's body if he were killed. So, it's a bunch of crock of bull. And the Defense Department also refused to confirm or deny the existence of helicopter maintenance logs and reports about the performance of military gear used in the raid. And one of the stealth helicopters that carried the SEALs to Abbottabad crashed during the mission, and its wreckage was left behind. People who lived near bin Laden's compound took photos of this sable chopper. The CIA, which ran the bin Laden raid and has special legal authority to keep information from ever being made public, has not responded to AP's request for records about the mission. So, I mean, it's cleverly...
So who knows if there was a mission?
Yeah, there was never a mission anyway. This is just a big fraud, you know? So, it's amazing. Oh, there was something here on this paper that I just saw, which I wanted to mention, which is pretty interesting. TSA agent pulls down dress to expose the breasts of a 17-year-old niece of a congressman during airport pat-down as he demands federal investigation. amazing, huh? These TSA officers. Aren't you amazing, huh? So, let's see. So anyway, let's go on. I have so much more to say. Let's see. Obama's birth certificate. Yeah, that's another big item that everybody knows is a joke. And let's see.
I have something I'm going to read.
Yeah, hang on. What I want everybody to know before you go on is I want people to be able to listen to this. This video of Edward Snowden saving us from the United Stasi of America.
Well, that should be interesting.
This is fascinating because it's about 10 minutes long, but the guy explains why he did it and he explains what's going on.
Who recorded him?
This is The Guardian.
Oh, okay.
CEO, UK. He first went to the Washington Post, which I thought was interesting because it would be good. But he probably, I don't know why he went there, but they only published a little bit of what he wrote, and they checked with the CIA to see if it was all right. I mean, what a joke, right? So he went to the Guardian, and they published the whole thing and came out and did the video and everything. I mean, the Washington Post, you know, could bring down Nixon, right? But they wouldn't bring down the intelligence agency.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're part of it. Everybody knows that, what's his name? I forget his name already. You know, what were the two guys?
I know, I was just trying to think.
Two clowns that's supposedly all the president's men, journalists. God almighty, sorry.
They'll come to us. Let's play this first.
Woodward and Bernstein.
Yes.
Well, everybody knows now that Woodward and Bernstein were both CIA informant, and Woodward is a CIA paid guy, okay, always was, and also that the Washington Post was very publisher of the Washington Post was very very close to Henry Kissinger at that time, so big joke. So this guy was this. You know, that was my wonder why he went to the Post.
At all. Maybe he obviously doesn't know much. Okay.
No, but anyway, he
didn't. Out of his area.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play this
anyway,
and see what he has to say.
Yeah. This is Edward Snowden, a whistleblower from prison. He's living in Hong Kong. He just left Hong Kong.
My name is Ed Snowden. I'm 29 years old. I worked for Booz Allen Hamilton as an infrastructure analyst for NSA in Hawaii. The positions that you held previously within the intelligence community? I've been a systems engineer, systems administrator, uh, senior advisor for the Central Intelligence Agency Solutions Consultant and a telecommunications information systems officer.
One of the things people are going to be most interested in trying to understand who you are and what you're thinking is there came some point in time when you crossed this line of thinking about being a whistleblower to making the choice to actually become a whistleblower. Walk people through that decision-making process.
When you're in positions of privileged access, like a systems administrator for these sort of intelligence community agencies, you're exposed to a lot more information on a broader scale than the average employee. And because of that, you see things that may be disturbing, but over the course of a normal person's career, you'd only see one or two of these instances. When you see everything, you see them on a more frequent basis, and you recognize that some of these things are actually abuses. And when you talk to people about them in a place like this, where this is the normal state of business, people tend not to take them very seriously and, you know, move on from them. But over time, that awareness of wrongdoing sort of builds up, and you feel compelled to talk about it. And the more you talk about it, the more you're ignored, the more you're told it's not a problem. Until eventually you realize that these things need to be determined by the public, not by somebody who was simply hired by the government.
Talk a little bit about how the American surveillance state actually functions. Does it target the actions of Americans?
NSA and the intelligence community in general is focused on getting intelligence wherever it can, by any means possible, that it believes on the grounds of sort of a self-certification that they serve the national interest. Originally, we saw that focus very narrowly tailored as foreign intelligence gathered overseas. Now, increasingly, we see that it's happening domestically. And to do that, the NSA specifically targets the communications of everyone. It ingests them by default. It collects them in its system, and it filters them, and it analyzes them, and it measures them, and it stores them for periods of time, simply because that's the easiest, most efficient, and most valuable way to achieve these ends. So while they may be intending to target someone associated with a foreign government or someone that they suspect of terrorism, they're collecting your communications to do so. Any analyst at any time can target anyone, any selector anywhere. Where those communications will be picked up depends on the range of the sensor networks and the authorities that that analyst is empowered with. Not all analysts have the ability to target everything. But I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap anyone, from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president if I had a personal email.
One of the extraordinary parts about this episode is that usually whistleblowers do what they do anonymously and take steps to remain anonymous for as long as they can, which they hope often is forever. You, on the other hand, have decided to do the opposite, which is to declare yourself openly as the person behind these disclosures. Why did you choose to do that?
I think that the public is owed an explanation of the motivations behind the people who make these disclosures that are outside of the democratic model. When you are subverting the power of government, that's a fundamentally dangerous thing to democracy. And if you do that in secret consistently, you know, as the government does when it wants to benefit from that secret action that it took, it'll kind of give its officials a mandate to go, hey, you know, tell the press about this thing and that thing, so the public is on our side. But they rarely, if ever, do that when an abuse occurs. That falls to individual citizens, but they're typically maligned. You know, it becomes a thing of these people are against the country, they're against the government. But I'm not. I'm no different from anybody else. I don't have special skills. I'm just another guy who sits there day to day in the office, watches what's happening, and goes, this is something that's not our place to decide. The public needs to decide whether these programs and policies are right or wrong. And I'm willing to go on the record to defend the authenticity of them and say, I didn't change these. I didn't modify the story. This is the truth. This is what's happening. you should decide whether we need to be doing this.
Have you given thought to what it is that the U.S. government's response to your conduct is in terms of what they might say about you, how they might try to depict you, what they might try to do to you?
Yeah, I could be, you know, rendered by the CIA. I could have people come after me or any of their third-party partners. They work closely with a number of other nations. Or they could pay off the triads or, you know, any of their agents or assets. We've got a CIA station just up the road in the consulate here in Hong Kong, and I'm sure they're going to be very busy for the next week. And that's a fear I'll live under for the rest of my life, however long that happens to be. You can't come forward against the world's most powerful intelligence agencies and be completely free from risk, because they're such powerful adversaries that no one can meaningfully oppose them. If they want to get you, they'll get you in time. But at the same time, you have to make a determination about what it is that's important to you. And if living unfreely but comfortably is something you're willing to accept, and I think many of us are, it's the human nature, you can get up every day, you can go to work, you can collect your large paycheck for relatively little work against the public interest and go to sleep at night after watching your shows. But if you realize that that's the world that you helped create, and it's going to get worse with the next generation and the next generation who extend the capabilities of this sort of architecture of oppression, you realize that you might be willing to accept any risk, and it doesn't matter what the outcome is, so long as the public gets to make their own decisions about how that's applied.
Why should people care about surveillance?
Because even if you're not doing anything wrong, you're being watched and recorded, and the storage capability of these systems increases every year consistently by orders of magnitude, to where it's getting to the point you don't have to have done anything wrong. You simply have to eventually fall under suspicion from somebody, even by a wrong call, and then they can use the system to go back in time and scrutinize every decision you've ever made, every friend you've ever discussed something with, and attack you on that basis to sort of derive suspicion from an innocent life and paint anyone in the context of a wrongdoer.
We are currently sitting in a room in Hong Kong, which is where we are because you traveled here. Talk a little bit about why it is that you came here, and specifically there are going to be people who will speculate that what you really intend to do is to defect to the country that many see as the number one rival of the United States, which is China, and that what you're really doing is essentially seeking to aid an enemy of the United States with which you intend to seek asylum. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So there's a couple assertions in those arguments that are sort of embedded in the questioning of the choice of Hong Kong. The first is that China is an enemy of the United States. It's not. I mean, there are conflicts between the United States government and the Chinese PRC government, but the peoples inherently, you know, we don't care. We trade with each other freely. You know, we're not at war. We're not in armed conflict, and we're not trying to be. We're the largest trading partners out there for each other. Additionally, Hong Kong has a strong tradition of free speech. People think, oh, China, great firewall. Mainland China does have significant restrictions on free speech, but the people of Hong Kong have a long tradition of protesting in the streets, of making their views known. The internet is not filtered here, no more so than any other Western government. And I believe that the Hong Kong government is actually independent in relation to a lot of other leading Western governments.
If your motive had been to harm the United States and help its enemies, or if your motive had been personal material gain, were there things that you could have done with these documents to advance those goals that you didn't end up doing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anybody in the positions of access with the technical capabilities that I had could, you know, suck out secrets, pass them on the open market to Russia. You know, they always have an open door, as we do. I had access to, you know, the full rosters of everyone working at the NSA, the entire intelligence community, and undercover assets all around the world, the locations of every station we have, what their missions are, and so forth. If I had just wanted to harm the U.S., you know, that you could shut down the surveillance system in an afternoon. But that's not my intention, and I think for anyone making that argument, they need to think, if they were in my position, and you know, you live a privileged life, you're living in Hawaii in paradise and making a ton of money, what would it take to make you leave everything behind? The greatest fear that I have regarding the outcome for America of these disclosures is that nothing will change. People will see in the media all of these disclosures. They'll know the length that the government is going to grant themselves powers unilaterally to create greater control over American society and global society. But they won't be willing to take the risks necessarily to stand up and fight to change things, to force their representatives to actually take a stand in their interests. And the months ahead, the years ahead, it's only going to get worse until eventually there will be a time where policies will change, because the only thing that restricts the activities of the surveillance state are policy. Even our agreements with other sovereign governments, we consider that to be a stipulation of policy rather than a stipulation of law. And because of that, a new leader will be elected. They'll flip the switch, say that because of the crisis, because of the dangers that we face in the world, you know, some new and unpredicted threat, we need more authority, we need more power, and there will be nothing that people can do at that point to oppose it, and it will be turnkey tyranny.
Yeah.
He's right.
That was Edward Snowden.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, when Obama was running for office, he said that he was going to dismantle all these
things. Well, I have that video, that video of him saying that, which I want to read in a minute, but I think it's important.
That was in 2007?
Yep. And it says, in my estimation, this is the reporter, there has not been in American history a more important leak than Edward Snowden's release of the NSA material. And that definitely includes the Pentagon Papers, 40 years ago. Snowden's whistleblowing gives us the possibility to roll back a key part of what has amounted to an executive coup against the U.S. Constitution. Since 9/11, there has been, at first secretly, but increasingly openly, a revocation of the Bill of Rights of which this country fought over 200 years ago. In particular, the Fourth and Fifth Amendments of the U.S. Constitution, which safeguard citizens from unwarranted intrusion by the government into their private lives, have been virtually suspended. And the government claims it has a court warrant under FISA, but that unconstitutionally sweeping warrant is from a secret court, shielded from effective oversight, and almost totally differential to executive requests. As Russell Tice, a former National Security Agency analyst, put it, it is a kangaroo court with a rubber stamp. And for the president, then, to say that there is logic as just as judicial oversight is nonsense, and as is the alleged oversight function of the Intelligence Committee and Congress. For not for the first time, as with issues of torture, kidnapping, detention, assassination by drones and death squads, they have shown themselves to be thoroughly co-opted by the agencies they supposedly monitor. They are also black holes for information that the public needs to know. And the fact that the congressional leaders are briefed on this and went along with it without any open debate, hearing, staff analysis, or any real chance for effective dissent only shows how broken the system of checks and balances in this country really is. And obviously, the United States is not now a police state, but you Given the extent of this invasion of people's privacy, we do have the full electronic and legislative infrastructure of such a state.
Yeah, it's all in place.
Yeah. And if, for instance, there was now a war that led to a large-scale anti-war movement, like the one we had against the war in Vietnam, or more likely, if we suffered one more attack on the scale of 9/11, I fear for our democracy. These powers are extremely dangerous. There are legitimate reasons for secrecy, and specifically for secrecy about communications intelligence. That's why Bradley Manning and I, both of whom had access to such intelligence with clearances higher than top secret, chose not to disclose any information with that classification. And it is why Edward Snowden has committed himself to withhold publication of most of what he might have revealed. But what is not legitimate is to use a secrecy system to hide programs that are blatantly unconstitutional in their breadth and potential abuse. Neither the President nor Congress as a whole may by themselves revoke the Fourth Amendment. And that's why what Snowden has revealed so far was secret from the American people. In 1975, Senator Frank Church spoke of the National Security Agency in these terms. I know the capacity that is there to make tyranny total in America, and we must see to it that this agency and all agencies that possess this technology create within the law and under proper supervision so that we never cross over that abyss. That is the abyss from which there is no return. And man, we are there now.
Mm-hmm.
And the dangerous prospect of which he warned was that America's intelligence gathering capability, which is today beyond any comparison with what existed in his pre-digital era, at this time could be turned around on the American people and no American would have any privacy left. That is now happened. And that is what Snowden has exposed with official secret documents. The NSA, FBI, and CIA have, with their new digital technology, surveillance powers over our own citizens that the Stasi, the secret police, and the former Democratic Republic of East Germany could scarcely have dreamed of. And Snowden reveals that the so-called intelligence community has become the U.S. Stasi of America. So we have fallen into Senator Church's abyss. And the questions now are whether he was right or wrong and there is no return from it, and whether that means that effective democracy will become impossible. A week ago, I would have found it hard to argue with pessimistic answers to those conclusions. But with Edward Snowden having put his life on the line to get this information out, quite possibly inspiring others with similar knowledge, conscience, and patriotism to show comparable civil courage in the public, in Congress, in the executive branch itself, I see the unexpected possibility of a way up and out of the abyss. But pressure by an informed public on Congress to form a select committee to investigate the revelations of Snowden, and I hope others who might come forward to lead us to bring the NSA and the rest of the intelligence community under real supervision and restraint and restore the protection of the Bill of Rights. Snowden did what he did because he recognized the NSA's surveillance program for what they are, dangerous, unconstitutional activity. This wholesale invasion of Americans and foreign citizens' privacy does not contribute to our security. It puts in danger the very liberties they're trying to protect. So, that's the important part. And this was written by Daniel Ellsberg, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yep, and for The Guardian. All right. And, of course, everybody knows that Daniel Ellsberg was the Pentagon Papers leaker. And we were better off for that, too.
Yeah.
You know, for Vietnam. But things are amazing, guys. And it's good freaks you out with what's going on. I get something.
Sure. Freaks a lot of people out.
No, gotcha.
Very scary, I think. Not that I have anything to hide in my phone calls.
Not that I have anything to hide. No.
No, I mean, it's so boring.
Yeah, yeah,
but
it's just so ridiculous.
Well, you know that they're retroactively going to build a case against you if someone decides they don't like you.
Oh, sure. Now, I got something I want to show you here. And this one is a little one-minute thing that just came out today. And this is Obama. It says, if you can't trust us, we're going to have some problems. Now listen to what he says here. I don't trust this guy as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I hate somebody that says that.
Yeah, I know.
It immediately raises the red flag of suspicion.
Oh,
there.
God, yeah. But he's threatening us. Yeah, if we don't trust him, there's going to be problems.
That's not to suggest that, you know, you just say, trust me. We're doing the right thing. We know who the bad guys are. And the reason that's not how it works is because we've got congressional oversight and judicial oversight. And if people can't trust not only the executive branch, but also don't trust Congress and don't trust federal judges to make sure that we're abiding by the Constitution, due process, and rule of law, then we're going to have some problems here. But my observation is that the people who are involved in America's national security, they take this work very seriously. They cherish our Constitution.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
The last thing they'd be doing is taking programs like this to listen to somebody's phone calls.
Does that give you any faith?
Who is that behind him?
Have those there, NSA, somebody or something.
Oh.
But unbelievable. No?
In the video, folks, there were two people behind him, so I didn't know who they were. I was just wondering if they all did, but
no. Yeah. Anyway, that's really kind of amazing. But I wanted to this is fascinating too. There's a bunch of stuff. But I wanted you to hear. I may have posted that, but I guess not. Give me 1 second. I'm going to go to it, and I'm going to get it. Because
there sure is a lot going on.
I got the another video that I posted on my website about Obama in 2007 talking about
I was going to get rid of all these secret programs.
Yep.
Mhm.
And
didn't happen. He enhanced them.
Yeah. 1 second. I'm trying to get.
Because he ran against the record that Bush had established.
Mhm. Yeah. And he said he was going to clean this whole thing up. I mean, just give me a second.
He was going to close Guantanamo. He was going to clean everything up.
Yep.
And yeah, right.
All right. In 2007, Obama made this speech on domestic spying when he was running for election about warrantless wiretaps.
This administration also puts forward a false choice between the liberties we cherish and the security we provide. I will provide our intelligence and law enforcement agencies with the tools they need to track and take out the terrorists without undermining our Constitution and our freedom. That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are. It's not what is necessary to defeat the terrorists. The FISA court works. The separation of powers works. Our Constitution works. We will again set an example for the world that the law is not subject to the whims of stubborn rulers and that justice is not arbitrary. This administration acts like violating civil liberties is the way to enhance our security. It is not. There are no shortcuts to protecting them.
So,
now that's Obama who just authorized everybody in the country to be spied on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, keeping Guantanamo, and all their prisoners there, extending the wars. The guy is one flagrant.
He's a serial liar.
And you just can't. It's just unbelievable, you know.
Well, people assume that he has a war injury. Oh, that isn't who I was thinking of. Sorry. I was thinking of somebody else.
Who?
It's not important.
Oh. Well, I got one more on this. Now, then I've got a couple of health issue ones.
Oh, good.
And did you know China? One thing, China refused the wheat imports from us.
I had heard that.
Yeah, interesting.
Because it's tainted with GMO.
It's all GMO. They won't take it.
I thought they were already growing GMO wheat.
They won't. No. In fact, China won't even allow McDonald's, to have the same menu. It has to be, it can't be GMO stuff. That interesting. This is kind of a short. I'll let Lila read it if you like to.
Sure. Obama, mass surveillance protects civil liberties, mocks critics who complain about Big Brother. This was, June 7th by Jason Deep. With the PRISM program, which allows the NASA to directly, warrantlessly spy on virtually all communications on the internet and other NSA schemes surveilling literally every phone call made in the U.S., America has struck the right balance between privacy and government power, according to President Barack Obama, adding that spying on the myriad details of Americans' lives actually protects civil liberties. Well,
isn't that amazing?
That's an interesting.
Isn't that fascinating? I thought, oh my God, it's so bizarre. I talk about Orwellian newspeak, doublespeak.
Obama insisted it was impossible to have 100% security and also have 100% privacy, adding that it was up to the government to make that choice. It seems the answer was put to the sliding scale all the way to the authoritarian side, ushering in a privacy-free era of always-on surveillance. As the one in charge of the surveillance, Obama is naturally comfortable with this situation and mocked the people. I think they meant quite comfortable with the situation and mocked the people who complain about Big Brother, a reference to the somewhat less ambitious surveillance system in George Orwell's novel 1984. Obama went on to condemn media outlets for informing the public about the PRISM scheme, insisting it was an unacceptable for news sources to reveal his misdeeds willy-nilly, and they were aiding terrorists by informing them, along with everyone else, about just how much surveillance is going on. Everything is a terrorist act that they don't like.
If they
break the law and you say so, you're aiding terrorists.
That's right.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
just like Snowden said on that video of him, why he did this is because he said you can go in to anybody at anything and
build a case.
Even though the guy is totally innocent, you can build a case against him.
You maybe talk to somebody you weren't supposed to talk to.
Or maybe said something and they take it out of context.
Uh-huh. You were talking in private to a friend.
That's right. So it's just amazing. So if anybody has a suspicion against you, you can check this thing out on antiwar.com.
So then he has his henchman, Eric Holder.
Oh, yeah, Holder. They got a petition here that says, should Eric Holder resign?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Or they should kick him out.
Absolutely. All right. Now, we don't have enough time just to do these three articles I wanted to do. You up for that, or you want to go to a quick break?
Why don't we just have a quick little break and then come back? Get those articles up.
Okay. Well, they're already here.
Maybe something better. This.
That one would put me to sleep. Yeah, that was going to sleep. Always good. Front rubber booze is always good. confirming that these tech companies did indeed concede to the NSA surveillance program. They opened discussions with national security officials about developing technical methods to more efficiently and securely share the personal data of foreign users in response to lawful government requests. And in some cases, they changed their computer systems to do so, says the New York Times in an article entitled Tech Companies Concede to Surveillance Program. Except it wasn't just foreign users, it turns out. The program quickly ballooned to encompass users in the United States, too, the New York Times goes on to report. In at least two cases at Google and Facebook, one of the plans discussed was to build separate secure portals, like a digital version of the secure physical rooms that had long existed for classified information, in some instances on company servers. Through these online rooms, the government would request data, companies would deposit it, and government would retrieve it. People briefed on the discussion said, this is how companies like Google and Facebook can claim that with a straight face that the NSA doesn't have backdoor access to our servers. They don't need it. What actually happens is that Google, Facebook, Yahoo, and others simply deposit all their data at another location, a gateway where the NSA copies it off.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that amazing? Now you understand how to correctly parse this fake denial of Google's chief executive, Larry Page, who says the U.S. government does not have a direct access to a back door to the information stored in our data centers.
Goes through the front.
Yeah. It doesn't need access. It has their indirect access that has set up by Google. And here's a slide from the top secret prison program that tells the truth. This is the original source of the page
of the Washington.
Right, here it is right here. You see, he says in this diagram, it shows Microsoft, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, PalTalk, YouTube, Skype, and AOL, and Apple, all gives their email, the chat rooms, the videos, photos, data, storage data, VOIP, file transfers, video conferencing, a notification of target activity logins, and online social networking details and special requests.
Huh.
Imagine that. All of
it. I don't know.
This is the complete list and details on the PRISM webpage. So the PRISM webpage, this is what they do. This is how they gather all of their information.
All your information just gets sucked right out.
Yeah. How the government flipped the script on foreign terrorists to domestic threats.
All of this, of course, an outrageous abuse of the Patriot Act and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Because when both of these were being debated on the Senate floor following the false flag attacks of 9/11, it was a promise that this would never be used against Americans, hence the name Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It was only about foreigners because they were the terrorists, right? But over the last decade, the last U.S. government flipped the script. All of a sudden, the Obama administration was targeting domestic threats, which it identified as veterans, patriots, conservatives, gun owners, and anyone who believed in the Constitution. It didn't take long for the surveillance grid to be redirected toward the American people. Now, instead of FISA being used to track bin Laden through a network of caves in Afghanistan, it was being used to track Bob Jones, a Kentucky farmer who owns a shotgun and carries a Bible. This demonstrates just how easily these unconstitutional powers can be abused. History has shown that when government is granted such powers, they will always turn them against the people sooner or later, hence the reason for the Fourth Amendment and the entire Bill of Rights, something that both Bush and Obama seem to think doesn't exist. Anyone who believes the denials of Google and Facebook is a fool.
Yep.
At this point, of course, anyone who believes the ridiculous denials of Google and Facebook is an outright fool. Google, for starters, has been run by spooks from the very beginning. Many of its top engineers are straight out of NASA. NSA. Backdoors have been in place from its inception, from its inception, just for your information. Google allows the government to psychologically profile all its users. By watching what you query in the search engine, they can build a profile of all your interests, habits, perversions, and political leanings. Gee, do you think that could be used against you by a vindictive criminal government that has already been caught using the IRS to intimidate and threaten conservative groups? That is why more and more people are switching over to startpage.com.
We're going to do that. We're doing that too, by the way. That Startpage is where it's an anonymous web search,
mm-hmm.
right? Started up by Catherine Albright. Albright, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be using that as well.
It's the no surveillance search engine. Personally, I use Startpage for almost all my searches, especially when I'm searching for something for a story that might get me flagged as a terrorist by the Google/NSA surveillance group. For example, if I'm searching a story on the Oakland City bombing, I might search for something like how to make a fertilizer bomb just to get background information on the story. Such a search on Google would immediately get you flagged by the NSA as a possible terrorist. That's because journalism has been criminalized under the Obama administration. As an example, examine how the Department of Justice used its power to intimidate and surveil hundreds of Associated Press reporters. It even accused a Fox News reporter of being involved in a conspiracy against America for merely asking a State Department official his opinion on an international matter.
Collusion between tech companies and bad government. Isn't it obvious at this point that the police state spy grid has gotten completely out of control? This collusion between tech companies and abusive government has become a threat to the freedom and safety of the American people. Big Brother isn't merely something that might arrive in the future. It's here. You're being tracked right now. Everything you type, post, say, or search for is being recorded and data mined to psychologically profile you and even predict your future behavior. If we don't stop this, it's only going to become more abusive and dangerous. And this system is already being wildly abused. Yet what we're seeing today is only the beginning. And under the government that strips away Second Amendment from the people while surveying all of their private communications, no one would be safe from Big Brother. No communications would be private, and anyone who criticizes the White House would be arrested and disappeared into Obama's network of secret prisons that he has continued to operate. That means we would be gone. As a society, we have gone off the cliff and plummeting toward total tyranny. When privacy is lost, freedom is destroyed. If we cannot hold phone conversations and online conversations in private without being surveyed, tracked, and data mined by our own government, then any idea that America is still the land of the free is a cruel hoax. And by Obama says, trust me. But Obama says, trust me. And all the spying is perfectly fine, he claims, because the government is running it and all the government people have been fully briefed on it. And never mind the fact that the people have never been told that this is happening. You're supposed to just trust that Obama won't abuse this and that as long as you are knowing nothing to hide, the government won't come knocking on your door one day. And Obama is America's sociopath in the White House. Do you want to read that? Or you want me to?
Go ahead.
Obama is America's sociopath in the White House. I'm not the only one who finds this explanation not merely absurd, but reeking of mental illness. Obama has become America's sociopath. While he vacuums up all your private conversations, phone calls, medical information, and personal photographs, he says you're supposed to trust him because he knows who the good guys are. Really? Because it seems increasingly obvious to everyone else that Obama and the entire federal government are the bad guys engaged in the outrageous violation of the Bill of Rights on a routine basis. And everything that goes is rooted in hypocrisy. For example, this is a government that says we can't videotape police on public streets because that's somehow breaking wiretapping laws. And yet, without any warrants whatsoever, the same government can read all your emails, listen to all your phone calls, and even track your geographic locations when you initiate those calls. This is all being justified by invoking terrorists that the government itself actually runs. Nearly all the so-called terror plots taking place in the USA today are in fact run by the FBI. What's wrong with this picture?
A lot's wrong with it. And you know what? We're just at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to check this out, this is a good article. Go to naturalnews.com and check it out. I'll Google, Facebook, Skype, and Yahoo are screwing you.
Yeah.
All right. So
there's a lot to learn, folks.
Yeah.
And all of it is good.
Yeah, and they also got a great article on there, if you're still smoking, that 90% of U.S. tobacco is GMO. Hey, smokers, you're smoking pesticides.
So that's guaranteed to kill you.
That'll kill you now.
One way or the other.
And also there was another article I wanted to bring up. There's a ton of natural news as well. RFID tracking armbands forced on all residents near California Music Festival.
And some of these we can get to tomorrow, Leo. So.
Yeah, we'll read this tomorrow.
Well,
so these are great articles.
But
please go ahead and please join us tomorrow night.
And thanks for listening to us tonight, and have a great evening, folks.
Yeah.
And we have a little song?
Yeah, we got a little close-up song.
Yeah. Just a minute late. We was finding the song. There it is. Oh, that's not it. What song is that?
I have no idea.
That isn't our closing song.
No. Just trying to bring it down to a closing song. Yeah, there's so many songs. I mean. Yeah. Okay. So have a good night, everybody.
Here's the music.